Welcome to Cybersecurity Where You Are, the Center for Internet Security's podcast. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO at CIS.
And I'm Tony Sager, Senior Vice President and Chief Evangelist at CIS. Cybersecurity affects us all, whether we're online at home, managing a company, supporting clients, or running a state or local government.
So join us on Wednesdays as we discuss trends and threats, explore security best practices, and interview experts in the industry.
Together, we'll clarify these issues, creating confidence in the connected world.
Hello, and welcome to the show, Cybersecurity Where You Are. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO here at the Center for Internet Security, joined as always by the host with the most, the Hall of Famer, Mr. Tony Sager. How are you, Tony?
Great, Sean. Great to be back with you, and congratulations on 100 episodes.
We are at 100. I didn't know we'd get here, Tony, but we did it somehow. And one of the reasons we made it is our very special guest, senior content marketing specialist, extraordinaire, and podcast producer, Mr. David Bisson. David, how are you, sir?
Hey, Sean. Hey, Tony. How's it going? I'm good.
It is going great. So we made it to 100, David, and I think it's what we'd like to do. Hand over hosting duties to you, and let's put me and Tony on the hot seat and talk about the last 100 episodes. How does that sound?
Sounds perfect. Let's do it.
Wonderful.
Okay.
So going back to the very first episode, how do you feel that your approach and content have evolved?
I'll warm it up here, Sean. So I went back to listen to it, and I thought, oh my gosh, who are these two guys they dragged off the street and recorded? And I have to admit, I think it's true for you also, Sean, right? I had never done anything like this. I've never posted a TikTok, a YouTube video, or anything. And yeah, I've spoken in public, but not in this sort of, you know, conversational recorded setting. And so, you know, got into this without really understanding what it was going to be like. But that first sort of get acquainted thing, as I said, I just re-listened. I thought, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was kind of a chance. We were exploring, you know, sharing kind of where we came from and kind of a warm up, you know, get acquainted with a sort of a thing. But, you know, I could feel listening back to it, kind of excitement, like, oh, this is new. This is fun. I wonder where this is going to go. But I don't know. What do you think, Sean?
No, I agree. It was, I tell you, my motivation was just I get to talk to Tony Sager. So I'm in great shape. I'm in great shape. And no, it was, I think it was, you know, it is, what could it be? I think was, you know, the potential element. And then as we've evolved over time, like you say, I listened to the first episode a couple of weeks ago, obviously knowing we were coming up to 100, and it was those young whippersnappers in the podcast industry. Look at where they are now, and it was just it was great to see, though. But you, like you say, it was the excitement was there, and again, it was just literally one of those where it was a conversation. Right. It was just as, you know, figuring things out as we were going. There wasn't really a lot of structure, as I remember when we first recorded. But it was just let's see what we can do. And now we're here.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that, you know, as we talked about right before that first episode, what were we trying to do? How did we want to come across? And that word conversational came up several times. And then to be consistent with the, I'll call it the principles of the company. You know, can we simplify the story? Can we cut through the clutter and the fog? Those kinds of things. That's what we were trying to get to. That, you know, our goal of bringing clarity, right? Trying to help people understand what's important and do it in a way that's accessible, that's not over cluttered with jargon and acronyms. So anyway, so it was a, now I listened back to it, I got, oh my God, who was that guy? You know, you're not used to hearing your voice recorded. And the sort of like, am I rambling now? You know, why did they cut that part out? But we survived it. And here we are, 100 episodes.
Yeah. So Tony, I mean, you bring up a good question about like the cutting and how, you know, there are things going on in the background. What surprised both of you the most about the machinery of putting on a podcast as you started getting into the first few episodes?
Well, one thing that struck me, David, is that, you know, there is a professional discipline behind it. And, you know, with all respect, and it's not that I didn't think you guys were professionals. It's just that, you know, what the way this has worked out, when you look at the kind of workflow here, I don't know what you think, Sean, but I feel like we just show up and talk. You know, we have a topic, we have a guest, we'll exchange some questions, but there's just a lot going on. And I don't really have to think about the work that happens behind the scenes, right? To chop out the awkward parts or when we have to restart or to kind of synchronize everything because it's so smoothly done in the backgrounds. I've really come to appreciate that it really frees us to focus on the topic, the guests, the questions, and the back and forth part of it. So, but I was surprised at how much goes into it. Now, you know, as we've gone along through the 100 episodes, I've looked at a couple of the sort of behind the scenes of other, you know, high-end professional podcasts. Oh my gosh, there's like teams of people back there doing all kinds of work, right, to prepare, you know, everything, all those parts of it. We're not quite to that level, but it was very impressive. You know, it seems like kind of a casual thing, right? A couple of people talking with a guest, but really there's a lot of machinery that goes on. And if people knew how many hours we spent planning, brainstorming new ideas, you know, talking about what we're trying to do, where we're going to go with it, how we support the larger goals of the company, it's really a serious bit of work here.
Yeah, definitely. Sean, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, the same thing. It was, I'll just give you one little story. So Chad and Rudy, who were, you know, behind the scenes making me sound good. and I told Chad, I said, I think I recorded that perfectly. We could put this out tomorrow. And he says, you have no idea what it takes to do this. I'm like, and so that was my first foray into understanding exactly what he did. And he's like, look, the sound engineering here, we've got this, we got, and I was like, okay, so I guess it's not going out tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, Chad and Rudy, we couldn't do this without you. So thank you so much for all you do. And just as we're sharing some love here, I also want to give a shout out to Laura Lee and Robin, because we couldn't do the podcast without them. I never knew how much work would go into actually scheduling the episodes and coordinating calendars and rescheduling things when something would inevitably come up. They really keep this going and make sure that we're able to plan in advance. So it really takes a team to keep the podcast running.
100%. Yeah, it feels like we've hit a pretty good rhythm here, you know, that, you know, and because we have to deal with like real work, you know, and work around the inevitable crises and challenges there. But again, Sean and I both appreciate that we just get to focus on the content part of it. And, you know, this is an incredible group of people that work behind the scenes to make this smooth. And I tell you, some of our guests have been amazing. You know, they're just, and we, you know, many of them we know, so we know they're going to be great, but you know, just the chance to spend, you know, half an hour to an hour talking to some of these folks is like, man, we're getting paid to do this. I think this is really great.
Hmm. Okay. So speaking of guests, is there anyone in particular that stands out?
Sean, anybody from your perspective?
Well, I say, just recently, but maybe it's 10 episodes ago now. I mean, we're at 100. It's unbelievable. But like Tara Wheeler was, I mean, unbelievable. I was in awe of mm-hmm. her. And I tell you, one of my favorite episodes is when I've literally learned something. You know, I'm asking a question or, you know, probing a specific area. And it's just so Tara was great. Way back when, Mosi Platt, absolutely phenomenal in terms of his GRC and just the knowledge that he has. It's absolutely phenomenal. And we've just had so many guests. I mean, they've all been great. But I really do like when, you know, you've come out, you feel like, yeah, that this has an impact, as it were, for people listening, and that it's contributive to the program. It's not just, you know, just talking about the things we can't do. It's how we can approach things and do them in a way that justifies the time and effort to do them. And I think those are the really good episodes.
Yeah, it's hard to pick out favorites. I have to admit, I have a little bit of a bias. I think it's my age, but the sort of generational thing, I'll say. Remember not long ago, we did a kind of a birthday episode for Center for Internet Security with, Frank Rieger, Ramon Barkin, and Clint Kreitner, employee number one. And you know, those are three people, number one, that I just have the utmost respect for and, you know, their role in founding CIS. But also, you know, hearing them look back at what they have done you know, and they were, these were all people with, of national stature doing important things. And, but they all really remember CIS really fondly, right? It's one of the most interesting things, one of the most productive, one of the most satisfying things that they have done in a long career. And that includes some of the early volunteers, again, of kind of my generation, like a Randy Marchaney from Virginia Tech and folks like that. I think that was all, for me, you know, at this age, I spend a fair amount of time thinking about, like, how the heck did I get here? And, you know, who are the people that I got to meet along the way? Oh, one other episode, though, I'll highlight was the one we did with, actually, Randy was on it with Phyllis Lee. And it was the release of version 8 of the controls. And that was the first where Phyllis took over the reins and was hers, her version from start to finish. And there was a little bit of that, you know, old man, proud papa, you know, handing off to hear her describe, you know, the work, the building of the team, the process of working through version 8. And Randy was involved with us, but he was also literally one of the very first volunteers at CIS for benchmarks back in 2000 plus. And so, you know, you really got kind of the history of the all wrapped in one episode there. Two extraordinary people. Randy is just an amazing person. But to see Phyllis, you know, and she's done such a great job with the controls. You know, now I look back and go, gosh, what was I doing? It's a little embarrassing because she's done so well with it. But it's just really, I felt this real sense of satisfaction to watch how much this has grown, the team that she built around it, and then to kind of hear and to be able to talk to it as a, you know, as an interested observer.
Yeah, so Mosey, Randy, Phyllis, some of these great people who have been on our podcast. And Sean, I could see what you mean coming away with something that we've learned. Is there anything in talking to our guests that surprised you where maybe you hadn't considered it before?
Yeah, I was thinking, and another great guest was Ed Skotus, Canna Heck and Sands. Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I learned from there, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I mean, the man is a genius as far as I'm concerned. It was going through, you know, some of these elements of penetration testing and the way he approaches it, and really was foundational in one, proving, you know, if I think this way, that's the right way, as it were, but also bringing together all these different concepts and putting them into a cohesive unit in terms of an approach and building an underlying resource capability that's sustainable. That influenced how we even do penetration testing here now, based on talking to him and getting representatively, you know, his perspective was, you know, these are elements where you think of, you know, it's transformative in terms of, these are the reasons why we do these, is to get, you know, this type of perspective that you may not even realize, or you've been going, you know, me in my career for the last 20 years with a particular point of view, and having that changed or shifted or at least augmented in some way. Yeah, I could say that was one of the, a great episode and another lesson for me. And again, one of the big surprising things as well is, you know, we talk about Tony, and I've got to, again, the chief evangelist, but I also think of as a cybersecurity philosopher. And so ultimately what I've surprised is how many times I'm repeating some of his catchphrases, I'll call them. This is exactly what Tony would say, or this is, you know, what I think Tony would appreciate about these things. And it's been, you know, just great to learn literally from the master, the Hall of Famer. It's been an absolute honor to be a part of that. And so it was just getting to sit down and talk to, you know, an industry veteran, as it were, and a pioneer in the space, for me, has been well worth the time and one of the greatest benefits I could have ever had. You know, you imagine how much people would pay in order to sit down with Tony and have as much time as I've had with him. I mean, you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars in order to do that. And look at where I am now, Tony. We've done it 100 times.
Exactly. Well, it's one of the things, and we have talked about this, Sean, right? So I agreed to do this podcast because I'm a nice guy. I figured, hey, security evangelist or whatever, chief evangelist, that sounds like an evangelist kind of thing. I should just do this. And but the side benefit, and you just highlighted it, Sean, is the number of hours you and I have spent, you know, off screen, but also on the camera here, talking about pretty meaty topics in this industry with amazing people. And it really made me kind of think back to the pre-COVID, you know, working in the office days, where you learn so much in just casual conversation. You know, you got to kind of rub elbows with, you know, the people in front of me, and how that, what an incredible benefit that has been. I have spent more hours talking to you, Sean, one-on-one than with any other member of the leadership team. And, you know, how rare we get those chances anymore where our day is filled with pre-canned WebEx, Teams, Zoom, et cetera, you know, with a specific agenda and a specific outcome and so forth. And less of these conversations where we can kind of drift where the conversation goes, right? And, you know, when I used to come up to headquarters, you know, when we were really a fixed plant company, I mean, Kurt and I would make it a thing to kind of walk and pop in on everybody's office. Hey, Al, how you doing? You know, or whoever, just to kind of catch up. And it would lead to some discussion that was really fun. You know, it was fun, but it was also really productive because we could do things. So this sort of took the place of some of that conversation that happens when that you can only do face-to-face, right? And so it just provided us the opportunity to do this. I really come to appreciate that, Sean. So right back at you. You know, I've spent more hours talking to you, a CISO, than I have to any other CISO in the industry, probably 10x, including the ones that were my CISOs back at the National Security Agency. And so I got to appreciate, you know, the job that you do. So you know, whatever phrases you attribute to me, I call you the whisperer to boards. You know, you have to navigate between the governance of the board and the leadership team and try to help, you know, characterize, help them manage risk, right, to make good decisions. And so I've come to appreciate the amount of skill and time and the adaptability that you have to show to kind of figure out how to help everyone see their role and get focused on what's really important. So you know, tremendous benefits there also from my perspective, I think. But, you know, kind of down this vein, and David, I'll just take another question here, but, you know, some of my favorite episodes have not been about technology, but they've been about like CIS and the culture and workforce. And we've done a fair amount of exploring of that, right, Sean? And you've done a couple of these, like sort of man in the street or man at the fireplace kind of conversations. And, you know, tell I think folks would be interested. You know, what did you get from that and what were you trying to do?
No, absolutely. So one of the things was to really bring a sense of CIS to a larger organization, right? To really the populace of our audience in terms of what we're doing and the type of people and culture that we've built. And it's truly a mission-driven organization. You can hear it when we talk to people and I ask, you know, very simple questions about bringing people together and why would we do this as an organization? And you know, there's a sense of the organization through their words. And I think that's very potent for an organization like ours that's grown, has huge responsibility. And I think it gives a little bit more transparency as well to the audience to see, you know, what is, you know, where do you exist, Sean, Tony, and your you know, your guests? You know, what type of environment do you exist in and why are you able to do the things that you do to contribute to cybersecurity at many different levels across every industry, really, literally worldwide, in order to create that confidence in the connected world? Well, it's the confidence in the people that are behind, you know, the name CIS.
And, you know, I sometimes joke, CIS is the most culture conscious place I've ever worked. And that includes the National Security Agency, which sets a very high bar for strong institutional culture. But, you know, this mission driven nonprofit environment, I think it's not for everybody, but it attracts people that I'll say are public service minded. And there's a very strong sense of cohesion around that. And we try to reflect it, you know, in leadership principles and in the way we filter, interview, select. I think we try to make that holistic. My wife happens to work for one of the most, you know, culture sensitive companies in the industry, Southwest Airlines. And so I spend a fair amount of time kind of reading the management literature about Southwest to give you a sense of how they embed culture into sort of everything they do. And I think that's part of what I think we tried to get across and I hope comes across to the audience, you know, doing the things, you know, at our all hands meetings. I mean, when I came to CIS, one of the most charming things I thought, you know, we were probably 80, 90% fixed plant and you know, a few of us working out remote, but the tradition was fly everybody back to the headquarters during the summer for a week of meetings and social events. And I just thought, oh, what a nice tradition, and which we have kept even as a work from home company. And it's quite expensive, right? It's quite an incredible logistical challenge. But we do it because the culture says we want to connect people within the company as well as have impact on the economy and the ecosystem at large. So I think it does speak well to us. Another favorite for me, Sean, is your RSA, man on the street kind of talks, especially the last one that we did where, you know, you and I, you were just conversing, and that was like, we were having just a fun time talking. And people would stop by, right, and either ask or, you know, and now they're part of the conversation. So was that, I forget now, was that your idea? Where did we come up with that?
Yeah, we were, what can we do to, you know, to bring the audience with us on some of these journeys to these conferences? And so we done it for a few years now, and it's building, again, that momentum, which I think we're seeing the types of ideas that we're bringing to the table and the types of content that we're, you know, experimenting with in terms of, what makes sense to our audience and what else can we bring from, you know, different perspectives. And that was really good. I mean, we were literally at the booth, you know, in the massive vendor hall. I mean, you could stay there for a week and still not get through all the vendors. And we just sat down and, you know, it's a conversation, and it was fantastic. And it just, brings a sense again of what are we doing, what are we seeing, obviously, you know, we'll go with AI. I don't know, I can go an episode without mentioning it, Tony, so I'll just pop it in here and
that box is checked, go ahead.
Exactly. But yeah, so that was the that was why we did it. And again, those bring, new opportunities, and, you know, I seek people to come and, you know, be part of it, be part of this community that we're trying to build. And I think, David, you know, I want to get you involved in this conversation piece in terms of, the metrics and what we're looking at in terms of the audience, our growth, and what we're seeing in terms of trending. I think we've seen that there is interest in what we're producing and what we're providing, and it's gaining traction, if that's a fair statement.
Yeah, I would say so. Obviously, things changed in 2024 compared to last year, how we ramped up our production of episodes. And from that, we've seen that people playing our episodes, spending time with our episodes, it's grown. It's maybe about at least like 20% for both how much time people are listening to our podcast episodes, and then how the amount of plays that our podcast episodes are receiving. So that in itself, it shows that our content is registering. And it seems it's interesting that as the podcast continues to mature, people are finding their preferred ways to find it, to access our content. When I started having sort of a breakdown of where people would go and listen, it was a little bit, still, people were finding their way. Now it seems like people have found a specific podcast app. The majority of listeners have found a specific podcast app where they access our episodes. And it didn't used to be that way. But now it just seems that people are sort of in that expectation where it's like, okay, they know when they're going to find our content. They know when it's going to come out. And it's easy for them to just subscribe in that way and keep tuning in every week.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think, Tony, we're still surprised people are listening. But it's such a, and I think it's, you know, as we've, what I like to feel, and this is, you know, part of another question, is the community that we're starting to build. And I see, you know, the regular listenership and contributions, you know, podcast@cisecurity.org. Let me check that one off as well. I got it in for any questions, comments, concerns. But it's that type of motivation, at least in my perspective, is the reward, Tony. You know, that's moving us in a direction where we're stuck. We've got, you know, consistent listenership, and we're starting to see growth in that space. And it just, you know, is a motivating factor, is, you know, what we're saying is hopefully making a difference.
You know, we've been talking as for the listenership, we started our strategic planning cycle for 2025 now. And we've gone back to look at some of the sort of fundamental principles. One of this, One of them is this tagline we use. I think it's our mission statement or whatever, the creating confidence in a connected world. And one of the ways we create confidence is through transparency, and another is through collaboration, right? So, part of the podcast, part of our sort of appearance in that is to humanize the work, right? We're not a distant think tank or a big government agency. We're Sean and Tony and David and, Chad and Rudy. But, if you want to talk to the principals behind any of our products, they are quite reachable. If you want to participate, get an account on Workbench and be onto the teams to create, the content with us, that's, of course, you're welcome to do so. And so part of the generative confidence is about this participation, this openness, right? And I think our attempt is, again, we want the podcast to reflect the values that we hold as a company. We want to live them. And I think that's consistent with the way we've tried to operate and, part of what CIS brings to the game. I think that allows us, to help people have confidence that, number one, we will operate in a way that's worthy of their trust, but also we're going to be here. Business success means that we're going to be here for the long haul. Again, shameless plug, next year is our 25th birthday. The CIS has outlasted any government program I was ever associated with in my entire 35-year government career. And because we found a niche, a business model that's successful, that provides value, that provides content that people will value enough, at a modest level, but sufficient to keep the company both foundationally solvent, but also able to invest in new areas, to help out other nonprofits, to give grants, to do some things that are indicative of community leadership. So yeah, I think it all kind of fits together. And I feel like in terms of the podcast reflecting, the culture, as you said, of CIS, right, our values, our place in the ecosystem, I think we've done pretty well there. And I don't have any great hesitation at all about that.
With us reflecting on our reflection of CIS culture, I want to start.
We're going meta here.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I want to look to the future and see, where are we going as a podcast and what can we do to continue to serve CIS and the cybersecurity community. So driving this conversation and really part curiosity, I'd love to know from both of you, if there was a guest that we could bring on the show that we haven't had yet, who would it be?
I'll take a shot.
Go. Sure. Yeah, I've got an internal and external, but
okay. Yeah.
There's, I think I'd like to grab one of the recent US government national leaders. So I'm thinking of a Rob Joyce kind of a character, there's challenges sometimes with getting government folks to come on. They have a lot of constraints on where they make appearances, but Jen Easterly and Neuberger, and it's not the name so much. It's that when you're sitting in those jobs, I've been around those jobs, but never served in them. The scope and scale of the challenge is just off the charts. And some of them come up through government ranks kind of exclusively. Some of them come from industry and spend some time in public service, and they bring a different perspective. But I'm always fascinated when they're done, when their term and time is up, the administration turns over, it's time for them to move on. Because they all have some interesting lessons learned, things they wish they had spent more time on or less time on, or what are the challenges? I'm fascinated by that. And given that the current crop, many of them or a number of them are former NSA employees and people that I've known, I think I'd like to grab one of them to come join us. And again, this sort of, retrospective on the way they saw the national problem. And it's not that all of our listeners are trying to solve the national problem, but to appreciate the complexity of it and to get a sense for, the quality. I mean, the quality of those kinds of folks is amazing. We're lucky as taxpayers and citizens to have them be willing to take those difficult jobs, but to get a sense for, what they think is important and what they valued and what they wish they had done. I would find that, interesting to me. I hope interesting to the audience. How about you, Sean?
Yeah, no, I was thinking externally the same thing. I think Director Easterly would be fantastic in terms of talking about the problems that we're seeing. And, we've talked secure by design from a thought leadership perspective. We're talking about certain advanced persistent threats within critical infrastructure, and contributive actions in that space, I think, would be great. But internally, I don't know that we've ever had Kurt Dukes on the show, Tony.
And good call.
We've got to get Kurt on the show. I just was thinking, I was like, well, I know my external, but internally, I think Kurt would be fantastic to get his thoughts.
Good call. The problem is it's SEC football season, so we have to catch him, you know, at the right moment.
Between games.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, he'll give us an update on Florida football,
absolutely,
whether we ask that question or not. No, I do appreciate. We've had several, I'd say, very new employees on, John. And that was really instructive. Like the one, in fact, this again plug when my son Thomas was on, and we had someone that's fairly new. I think Lenny was her name, young threat hunter. On the, you know, I've really enjoyed that. Again, got a lot of years here. You've got a lot of years in this industry also, Sean. And it is great to spend a little time talking to someone who's seeing this with fresh eyes, and new to it. So I think again that. It says something about us that we, you know, give them the chance to be on air. And, you know, it's just amazing the talent that we're able to draw, and that, you know, this is a great industry to be in, right? It's full of smart people who are dedicated to what they're doing. And so it's been really fun to have folks like that come join us.
Definitely. No, I think it's, you know, one of the elements, and, you know, as we think about the future of the podcast itself is giving a voice to individuals, right, and to organizations is a very important part of advocacy. Because like you say, there are a lot of smart people in this industry. You know, I'll give this thought in respect to this, Tony, is, you know, back when I first started, it was more of an art of cybersecurity. Now we're getting into the science of cybersecurity, and it's, you know, the professionalism and the skill sets that are being taught, and again, the plethora of educational opportunities that exist is—it's now about choice, not about what can I find. And I, you know, see such talent coming through. You know, as I see our own interns within the organization, and personnel that work, you know, within mine and with other organizations within CIS, it's amazing to see, you know, the future, as it were, of cybersecurity being shaped with the next generation, as it were, coming up through. So it's great to give them a voice and an opportunity to, you know, start their brand, as it were, in this industry.
Yeah. And Sean, I think that brings us, we could probably start closing it up, but thinking about then the podcast in general and looking to several years from now, when we're at, say, episode 200, hopefully. I mean, what do we want then between now and then to do to shape the podcast, to shape the landscape of cybersecurity as a whole? How do you envision that happening?
Sure. Yeah. No. Again, from my one of and Tony had mentioned this, but one of the elements from a strategic perspective is thought leadership. We want to bring that level to this podcast so that it can be shared with our audience, our community. That's very, very important, both internally and respectfully from experts externally. The other element that I see, you know, I've been advocating for, you know, a video element to add to this, so we'll be introducing it here. And ultimately, David, one of the other things I see as well is the idea generation that we have, and being able to work as this team, you know, our core team, and what we're putting together, and really then starting to focus on the message, the mission, and our ability to help influence. We, you know, this is to be a part of, you know, a daily drive for people, you know, while jogging, exercising, whatever, you know, venue you happen to be listening to us. But we certainly do hope it helps. And we need the feedback. Right. This is one of the things from the community perspective. It's not just us talking to the community. It's getting that back. So we'll hit podcast@cisecurity.org one more time before we adjourn.
Well done.
But it's thank you. But it's getting that their voices heard, as well as to helping us with the direction of the podcast as well. And suggestions are always welcome, because, again, we wouldn't be here without the audience. And again, we want to make sure that you're appreciated and heard as we construct our next 100 episodes, David, under your leadership.
Thank you, Sean. Yeah, and it's you bringing that up about having that feedback, bringing that in. I'm really hoping that the next few episodes or the next 100, we will be able to start having that conversation with our listeners, that we'll hear from you, our listeners, more frequently. I think we're going to try and start doing some different episode formats, trying to reach out to you to help guide the topics of the episodes so that we can have this conversation together. It's wonderful what we've done with these first 100 episodes, but we want you to play an even larger part going forward. So just wait, you know, you'll be hearing from us in one way or another.
That is true. No, I think, you know, Dave, it's a great question about where we're going to go. I mean, I really enjoy the mix of topics that we have put together over time here, because they do range from sort of the biggest to, you know, the most personal, right? Sort of the, you know, how do I get into the business and that sort of thing. And I think that's all good. As I look back over the episode list recently, you know, if people could look back across the 100 and you could pick out maybe a half a dozen, I mean, Sean's been basically giving people a tutorial on how to be a good CISO, you know, kind of how to build a roadmap, how to use the products of CIS and so forth. I mean, there's a theme there that is really instructive, right? And that was by design. You know, Sean was thinking of it that way. We didn't kind of advertise it that way, but it's a clear theme that I think has a lot of value. And you might think about, you know, not repeating them, but how do we make it clear there's a theme there that if you really want to learn from, you know, an experienced CISO at a you know, worldwide security company who has got all the problems that come with that and is worried about reputational risk, then you've got a, you know, you've got a worked example, right? And excellent content to help you with that. I do think, as Sean said, we're giving a lot of thought right now as to the future of CIS and what role do we play? What are the problems that we should take on that no one else can take on or that we're best equipped to take on? And how do we figure out, right, what's the most useful thing we can do? We can't solve all problems in the world, but, you know, we're a uniquely positioned nonprofit with lots of experienced people in this industry, with a great reputation, with a worldwide reach. And so we have a responsibility to that also, right, to stand up tall and help this ecosystem get better in security. So part of the execution of that needs to be reflected in the podcast. What are the topics? You know, whose mind do we have to convince? Whose feedback do we need to help us to take on the right set of problems? It's pretty clear that even when our leadership team gets in the room, all the talent we need is not in that room. We need other folks to help us think about this. And so I think, you know, asking for feedback is not an exercise in being polite. It's a really important part of what we are. And, you know, I'm sure I can promise on your behalf and Sean's behalf, any comment, feedback, idea for an episode, we will look at with very carefully during our brainstorming sessions and see if we can make something of that, right? What is it that the question is about or the idea is about, and how can we best meet that need? So we're really take that very seriously and would find some way to encompass that in some form during this. So it's all, you know, exciting. I think, again, we'd love to hear more feedback, but part of this is Sean and I have to have energy, right? We have to feel engaged. Again, what were we thinking, Sean? We're thinking, oh my God, do we have 10 episodes worth of things to talk about? And I remember going back to the 50th episode, we were like amazed then too. Can you believe it? You know, we've essentially had 50 hours of, what are we going to do for the next 50? Oh my gosh. Well, it turns out every week there's a new hot thing going on, or new fundamental questions about the future of the industry, or just interesting people to talk to. And so it turns out, you know, new topics, new guests, new conversations, that's not a problem. The question is just sort of, where do we want to both steer this, reflect the desires of the listenership, and also reflect what the company is trying to accomplish. So I think it's a very exciting, you know, time ahead of us. I don't know that I'll make 200 or 300 in my career, to be honest, fellas, but you know, but I'm really enjoying the ride while we're here.
We're enjoying it too. Oh, great.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think we can wrap up the conversation here. Tony, Sean, for the 100th time, take it away.
Well, thank you for joining us. Again, it's an honor to be here at 100 episodes. And again, thank you to everybody behind the scenes, Chad, Rudy, David, and again, to my partner in crime, Tony. We couldn't do it without you. And I thank you for your leadership, mentorship, and everything that you bring to cybersecurity and to the world. It's truly phenomenal, truly an honor to be with you doing this. And to the audience, again, we want to hear from you. As we've mentioned, this the next 100 and all of the episodes beyond are going to be part of this community that we're building together. And we truly appreciate you being part of the community. So remember to subscribe in all the usual ways. And I'll give the final word to Tony.
Thank you, Sean. And thanks for the kind words. And right back at you. This is a growth experience, a fun experience for both of us. And as I said, I really appreciate the chance we have to explore topics together and to bring our different perspectives to it and to share that with the listenership. So yeah, the CIS, we take this community building thing seriously, right? We don't exist without a volunteer community. There is no business model for us without this building of consensus, gathering people around common problems and figuring out best practice solutions and supporting them over time. That's what we bring to this community. So we're conscious of our role, and we're proud of the work that we do, and we're proud to be part of the larger community of cybersecurity practitioners. So again, and also a plus one and then some to the internal team that makes us look good every week. So we appreciate that. So with that, I'm happy to say thank you again, listeners. We appreciate your time and your attention, and we look forward to you joining us for the next episode of Cybersecurity Where You Are.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today.
The thoughts and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely theirs and do not necessarily reflect those of CIS.
Tune in on Wednesdays for a new episode. And in the meantime, visit our website at cisecurity.org.
Together, we'll continue our efforts of creating confidence in the connected world.